again to another episode of the Horizon Roundtable. I am Bob McDonald. And joining me, of course, is my co-host, Matt Dudek.
Hey there, everybody.
Matt, you can find on Twitter at Horizon Matt. You can find us on Twitter at Horizon RT. You can find us on the web at horizonroundtable.com. You can find us on Facebook as well at Horizon Roundtable. And be sure to subscribe to us wherever podcasts are found. And Matt, it is a IUPUI one. They won. They won pretty convincingly, too, by the way.
A new day in the Horizon League.
So, I wanted to start out with them because, and everybody's probably like, why are you starting out with IUPUI? They're not in last place anymore. They're not in last place. I mean, they might be in tie for last place. But we've been talking about for, like, a couple weeks now. We talked about it last episode. Who do you not want to, out of that matchup? IUPUI or Green Bay? Who are you going to take? Yeah. You don't want to play IUPUI. Ask Milwaukee. We'll talk about that in a minute. But definitely not, Green Bay. I didn't realize how downtrodden the situation was at Green Bay, but if for as bad as it has been, apparently it's actually worse than I thought.
Oh?
Yeah, they only have 9 players.
Oh, yeah. There's some...
Well, yeah.
Some personnel things happening, and you start to, I hate to say it, like I'm not going to pretend to know anything, but you start to wonder, are those really injuries, or are those we've been playing through for Will Ryan and now we're not, like where does that line and where do we start to really break away?
One of them was Donovan Short, who hasn't been playing at all, so I don't know about that, but no, it was definitely not to take anything away from IUPUI. So, and I was looking at the game. Watching the game, because they were the first ones to start, because that's what IUPUI does. They do it for the children, Matt.
IUPUI is out there just making sure to be seen by the kids.
That's right. No matter what, if it's on a Saturday, it doesn't matter if it's a random Monday in February, or Thursday in February, as the case was against Milwaukee. They do it for the kids, man.
Hey, you know what?
And it works. It seems to work really well.
Their attendance numbers are better than some others,
That is true.
Thanks to the kids. That is
true. Thanks to the kids. Hey, it works. But yeah, the second this game actually started pretty close. This game started the IUPUI Green Bay game started pretty close, and then we got to the 7-minute. We got to the under 7 timeout. Media timeout in the first half. Do you want to know how many points Green Bay scored in the after the media break?
Less than 5.
They scored 1 point.
Hard to win games that way.
If it was IUPUI was up by 6 at halftime. So if this was any other team, because make no mistake, IUPUI still has some work to do. Very obvious.
Oh, sure they do. They know that.
But make no mistake, if this was Youngstown State, they would have been up by like 30 at halftime. Just basically running all over them. And we might actually see that a little later on. We might see that in a couple weeks. But yeah, they scored 1 point. I had to look that up. I thought I was crazy. IUPUI held them to a single point. So whatever's going on offensively for IUPUI, and there is a lot still. Defensively, they definitely have the defensive part down.
It was just that soft defense.
Which we've seen in the last few games. They haven't been able to kind of get over the hump to get the win, but we've seen the building up, basically. And it all culminated into a 15-point win. It wasn't even close. It was a 15-point win.
Comfortable.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and we talked about it on the podcast, I think it was last week, and I talked to Matt Crenshaw, and Matt Crenshaw had told us his team is getting healthier. And
yes.
Yes, they were playing Green Bay. They were probably the favorite and all those things, but don't miss out on the fact that you had the other twin back.
Ahmad Gerard. Ahmad came back. Chris Austin, who was out for the Cleveland State game, also came back. He was also back. I guess it was only like a one game thing because he was back for Milwaukee. So, but yeah.
I mean, IUPUI got a second ball handler. in that game. Yes, and that makes a difference. It takes some pressure off of Counter, who we've seen. It's a very
and Counter was in foul trouble the whole game too. Counter was in foul trouble.
All the bigger reason that you had a second ball handler. You know, like that it helps because they struggled. I mean, they're starting point guards out all season, so like you're already scrambling a bit. Counter's not a point guard. No one's pretending he is, but he's playing the role. So getting the twin back there to handle the ball that helped.
Absolutely. I would be remiss if we didn't mention Vincent Brady.
Yeah, we should at least acknowledge that.
All right. So in the broadcast, I love Greg Straw.
Friend of the show.
Love him. Friend of the show. But he mentioned, and I can't. I heard him try to make a comparison of Cade Meyer to Loudon Love. I heard that. I wanted to not hear that, but I heard that. And then like 5 minutes later, Cade Meyer gets posterized by Vincent Brady. It's all over SportsCenter. And I'm thinking to myself, Loudon Love wouldn't let him do that. He would have gotten his ankles broken and then the guy would have sped past him first, but that definitely wouldn't have happened to Loudon Love.
I'm trying, you know, again, Greg Rakestraw is great. So I'm trying to find the angle of where he was headed with, I mean, tall white guy, but I mean, Greg's better than that. So I'm not sure where he was at with that.
I think that, comparison. I think the size thing, I mean,
he's a bigger body.
Well, no, I think, the other thing too, is in that game, Cade Meyer was basically the only guy doing anything. He was the only guy making major contributions. Everybody else disappeared off the planet. So I could see why he would have said that, because Cade Meyer was the only one producing, and that matchup between him and Chris Austin, incidentally, didn't think that was going to be a thing again that game, but it was. Cade Meyer was winning that battle, and then he just ran out of gas.
Well,
I think that was why we did not see him, because there were stretches where we had Brock Hefner on the floor instead of him. The rotation thing was kind of weird to me, and I'm guessing it's because they only had nine dressed, and one of them I think was Donovan's brother Zane. And I guess
when you're shorthanded, you're missing your regular rotation. You're dealing with everything they're doing. I actually do feel bad for Green Bay. And I've always said, I know I have a reputation this season as a Green Bay hater. That's not true. They just needed to make the change. I appreciate that they made the change even as early as they did. And it's going to be tough sledding from here. But what do you say? That's a hard situation. And I recognize, you know, it's no different than when we recognize that IUPUI is in a full on rebuild and it's going to be rough for a minute. And it has been, it's been real rough, but go ahead.
No. I do not think this is going to be I don't think this is going to be the last win for them this year. I truly think somebody's else is going to be. They're going to beat somebody else.
Well, and here's the thing: they've played everybody real tough recently. We talked about that recently. You know who else they played really, really tough for this week? Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Yeah,
they scared the hell out of them.
That's right. IUPUI in front of the kids. By the way, we were incorrect. We were corrected earlier in the week that it wasn't just the high school kids. It was kids from the Indianapolis public schools. So there were elementary kids. You could hear it too, because I did actually get a chance to catch at least the first half of the game, and yeah, those kids were just. I mean, they were into it too. So it's like, congratulations. But you might have gotten an IEP win, Y fan for life there.
I was into it. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't working. It was great.
It really was. Game. But this was a good test for Milwaukee, because they were having issues. BJ Freeman was in foul trouble that entire game. So they had to find another option. And good thing they did, or that could have been a very, very major upset.
It was a 2-point game with 9 seconds left.
Okay. Exactly. So that is, you are correct. And that is, and had not been for some late game, clutch defense, I think that would have been a different story.
It would. I mean, like I said, it was a great game. It was a lot of fun to watch. Really, really just an enjoyable game. It was a pretty well played basketball game. A little ugly at times, but the Horizon League always is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean,
solid basketball.
They did not have as again. BJ Freeman only played. He had four fouls that game. So he's limited to 10 points. So somebody else had to step up, and man, it was, you know, Kentrell Pullian's the guy who came through. I mean, him and Ahmad Rand. I mean, that is, you know, Marquise Browning. Angelo Stewart came through too. So that was but man, they gave him everything. I mean, Counter went off for 22. You know, again, the freshmen for IUPUI, we're seeing this a lot. And you already have DJ Jackson and Vincent Brady in the starting lineup already. I don't know why Cooper DeWitt is there, but he's there.
But here we are.
But you're also getting Armand Girard off the bench. Now you're getting Ahmad Girard off the bench. So there's four freshmen right there. And yeah, they usually are good for like 20 turnovers or whatnot. They actually only committed 16. I mean, it's still not great. But again, most of your turnovers are coming from a guy who shouldn't be playing point anyway. He's only there because of the circumstances. So, but yeah, that's what happened. But the thing is, they were not turning the ball over anywhere near as much as we've seen him in the past.
I mean, it was, like I said, I enjoyed watching the game, and I can't always say that. And, you know, we knew that IUPUI was going to be in a full-on rebuild, and they have.
I was mad I missed the end of the game because I had to go do work stuff, so that sucked.
It was great. I mean, Again, like, it kind of sucks because in some ways, you know, that IUPUI doesn't know how to win yet. You know, like, granted, they were chasing the whole time, but they kept it close. They played hard. Like, nothing to be ashamed of losing by, you know, 3 points to Milwaukee right now in the season.
I know we have said this multiple times over the course of the season, but it bears repeating. They're a couple of pieces away. I think the Bryce Monroe comes back next year as their point guard. That solves one problem. Then they got to solve the big guy problem. Go to the portal, grab some dudes. I mean, do what you did with Chris Austin, except get a couple more, basically.
If Matt Crenshaw really has his pieces in place and can keep this team together and just add really just probably a couple bigs.
Yeah.
This is the middle of the pack to, you know, the upper half of the Horizon League team.
Yeah. Which they have not, you know, which given where they started is a major improvement.
Yeah.
By the way, I know we're recording this on a Sunday. We got Milwaukee and Green Bay coming up on Monday. And, you know, unlike the Milwaukee IUPUI game, I don't have that much confidence that this one's going to be close because it's in Milwaukee. And I don't know how many people, I don't know how many players Green Bay is going to have. And yeah,
that's probably not going to go well. And that's too bad because the Horizon League is better when Green Bay and Milwaukee's a rivalry game. But it's not happening. Not happening on this Monday.
It's just one of those things that it's like, it's not looking great. So anyway, so Youngstown State won. So Youngstown State currently, because Milwaukee is, as of this recording, still has one game yet to play. They are a half a game behind Youngstown State.
Youngstown State didn't just win.
Oh, yeah.
They won a hell of a game.
Yes.
A triple overtime thriller with Wright State. When Trey Calvin's got 44 points in the loss, you know it was a good game.
And it could only, and to me, it really could only end one way. With Dwayne Cohill making a game-winning shot. It could only end one way, and it ended with Dwayne Cohill basically. He had four. There were four guys who could have did something about him. By the way, Trey Calvin was not one of them, because he was defending all the other four guys.
He's doing everything else possible, right?
It's funny because if memory serves correct, Trey Calvin was put on the bench because of his defensive skills. He wasn't the problem in that last play. It was like everybody else on the floor at that time. Dwayne Cohill basically just weaved past all of them. And I think it was, I want to say it was AJ Braun. There were two guys at the bucket. There was Keaton Norris and AJ, and I think it was AJ Braun. It might have been Brandon Noel. But he had two guys sitting right at the bucket, right under the bucket. He was able to get away from them, scoop up the layup with time expired. Nobody got a hand on him, and that was the end of the game.
It was just done. Oh, and
it was done.
Yeah, I mean, it was some pretty callous or a pretty porous defense at that point. Like, you can't let potentially the Horizon League Player of the Year to the bucket in that situation that easily. You can't. For a team like Wright State, who we've talked about defensively, you know, that's something that Scott Nagy was trying to hang his hat on with this team. Like, you can't do it. The other part to this is, you know, I talked about Trey Calvin having 44 points, which is incredible. But you know what? He was one of only two players on Wright State in double-figure scoring in that game.
Yeah.
Like, where is the contribution? Hey, I this is, again, going to sound like Matt being a hater. I know I get that, whatever, that label. But Amari Davis played 5 minutes, had 2 points in a overtime, in a triple overtime game. He was good for 5 minutes. That's a problem. Is he hurt?
I don't know, because he played against Robert Morris.
That's what I thought. Like, that just tells you that Nagy's not seeing what he wants out of him.
Yeah. I mean, he has clearly hitched his wagon to Alex Hubrist. As opposed to, he's got a choice of between Keaton Norris, Amari Davis, and Alex Hubrist, and he chooses Alex Hubrist, who played 43 minutes that game. But
Keaton Norris had 19 minutes.
But you know Hubrist was was 3 of 10 from the field in that game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was he better defensively? I guess, but did it help at the end? Obviously not. Yeah, again, here we are with these crazy rotational changes because the last couple of games you've had Alex Hubrist and Blake Sisley starting over. Yeah, so I'm like, I see where he's going. And by the way, I didn't know. And by the way, CJ Wilborn does really exist, which I did not know either.
That's a possibility at least.
I'm like, so CJ Wilborn decided. Yeah, if he has some extra eligibility, I have this very strange feeling he's transferring. Just throwing that out there.
Possibly.
The thing with Youngstown State, and this is important, is that, again, to your point, on the flip side of Wright State, and by the way, this is, you know, Wright State didn't have this problem. They almost had this problem, but they almost had this problem against Robert Morris, which we'll talk about in a minute. But when you look at Youngstown State, Dwayne Cohill didn't even leave his own team in scoring. He had 19. He wasn't even the first or second highest scorer. You know who the highest scorer was against Wright State?
I do know, but if you want to tell, go ahead.
It's Adrian Nelson. Adrian frickin' Nelson. Who, by the way,
Adrian Nelson was on triple-double watch in that game with the third
right
category being steals.
Six steals. He had six steals in that game. Adrian Nelson for the week averaged a double-double, and if you don't think he's being considered for Horizon League Player of the Week, you must be insane, because that's the kind of week he had. We'll talk about him against his former team in a moment, but yeah, he had 27. Malik Green had 24. Then you get to Dwayne Cohill. And then you get to Brandon Rush. But again, it's that balanced attack that Youngstown State has, and they can kill you with anybody, and they do kill you with anybody. And Adrian Nelson was able to do what he was doing when he was in Northern Kentucky, basically out-rebounding everybody on the other team.
That's what he does, and he's really
Except with the exception of Brandon Noel. Brandon Noel actually did get as many rebounds as Adrian Nelson did. It was 15, but, you know.
Youngstown State is a dangerous team, and we knew that going into this season, and we're seeing that. I mean, this Wright State team just can't seem to get wins, but I still don't think they're a bad team. You know, like I feel they pass the eye test in so many ways, but their record doesn't say it. But nonetheless, we have Youngstown State pulling it out.
Which incidentally they proved it against Robert Morris, although they coughed up a 14-point lead. And they probably shouldn't have done that. But they did. They coughed up a 14-point win, but they won by 15. Make it make sense.
Yeah, they had a moment, then they had another moment. You know, make it make sense. Robert Morris, make it make sense. We can't get consistency. Like, Robert Morris probably should have beaten Wright State then, based on what we've seen.
Absolutely.
Statistically. But at the same time, no, Wright State pretty handedly took care of business there, which is good at coming off of that loss against Youngstown. But once needed to.
I'm sorry, I was incorrect. Once again, not a lot of Amari Davis. He only played 6 minutes.
He's in that proverbial doghouse, it seems. Or, you know, how do I say that? Early in the year when he was announced there, I wasn't as excited as some. And I said,
I was one of them. I was one. And
Scott Nagy is really big on shooting and defense. And I'm not sure that Amari Davis can do those things, much like,
apparently Dennis Alex Gates. Hubris.
Well, I was going to say, much like Dennis Gates is big on those things, yeah, which is why Amari Davis left Missouri, probably, it seems.
Although, if you've looked at Missouri lately, they are all about the offense now. Wow. Dennis, like I said, I think that, like I said, I was thankful that Dennis Gates left the defense at Cleveland State, but I think he didn't take a little bit of that with him.
Hey, sometimes you just got to outscore your opponent, I guess.
I get that. This weird rotational thing, once again, where you have, you know, Hubris is now it appears that Alex Hubris is now the starter over Amari Davis, now over Keaton Norris, who was also starting. And the rotation at that spot seems to be, you know, Hubris and occasionally Keaton Norris and occasionally and Andrew Wellage. And yeah, it's a weird thing. And again, Blake Sisley, the guy only plays like anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, but it's the Chris Conway situation from last year, it seems like, mm-hmm, where he's starting, but he doesn't spend a lot of time on the floor. And I don't know if that's a statement. Like, and I don't know if that's a statement Nagy's trying to make a statement to AJ Braun, because that's who he's replacing in the lineup, but that's what's happening.
Braun just more comfortable getting, you know, seeing the full game, you know? Like, there's something to be said for that.
And I think also the other thing, too, and I think situationally, you know, having Brandon Noel and AJ Braun, two guys who are basically, you know, they're two big guys, having those two in the lineup works sometimes, but it doesn't work when you have a team that is not as big, like a Youngstown State, where your primary rebounder is going to be Malik Green Adrian Nelson. So, but it worked. It didn't work against Youngstown State, but it did work for him against Robert Morris. And like you said, Robert Morris is in a really bad way right now. They just cannot seem to.
They're middling.
They are middling. They're not even middling. They're in a tie for eighth place with Detroit Mercy. Congratulations, Detroit Mercy. You're now up one spot for now.
But only a week ago they were beaten up on Oakland.
That's true. Exactly.
Couple days ago, not even a week.
And then they get home. Yeah, they swept that weekend. They beat Detroit Mercy. They beat. Oakland, and then they were in a position in both games to win, both Northern Kentucky and Wright State. They were in a position to win those games, and they did not. They ended up losing both of those games. I don't know what the issue is down the stretch, but that seems, and it's so, to your point, it's so inconsistent. So inconsistent.
This league is inconsistent, except for
this league is drunk. That's what it is.
Fun though. I'm having fun this year.
Well, it's fun. It's fun when your team's not doing those things. It's not so much when it is, but
I'm sorry. We'll get to that. But my team is definitely doing those things.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that.
Yeah. So
So yeah, UNKU. Hit that one too.
Yeah, so Northern Kentucky, oh man. Northern Kentucky did, you know, they came back to beat Robert Morris, and then I don't know. They were so flat against Youngstown State. Youngstown State took it to them. I mean, Youngstown State wanted to leave no doubt that double overtime game at Truist Arena was a fluke. And you want to know what they did? Proved it was a fluke. They did. And again, Adrian Nelson, another monster game. Double-double. I feel that was, in these games, it feels like he had something to prove, and he certainly proved it to me. I mean, he was
the player of the week.
He's got to be. But again, I mean, and they neutralized Marquez Warwick, too. That was a major issue for them. Marquez Warwick only scored 6 points. And he was on the bench for like the last 5 minutes of that game. Good, of course it was, because at that point, even Darren Hard knew the game was over.
At some point, you accept that and get some people some minutes and try to get out without any injuries, you know, further complicating the issue.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's like, and again, you know, Dwayne Cohill did not have he scored 15, but again, This is what makes Dwayne Cohill so valuable, that in spite of him not being the top scorer, he finds other ways to contribute. In this case, he had 6 assists against Northern Kentucky. So
he basically said, okay, you guys want to come and make sure I don't score? I have the pieces. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we'll get to them. Detroit Mercy, yeah. It's basically you shut down Antoine as best as you can, and you say, you dare somebody else to beat you. Yeah. You can't do that with Youngstown.
No. Exactly. So Dwayne Cohill sits over there saying, you know what? You're not going to let me score. Here, Brandon Rush, score. Here, Adrian Nelson, score. Malik Green, you need a hookup? There you go. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did.
They have the pieces.
Yeah. And now they're, you know, now they are 19-6 in the 19-6 overall and have a half game up. They're a half game up in the conference, at least until the seemingly inevitable, and if I'm wrong, you all can laugh at me, but I don't think you're gonna win against Milwaukee against Green Bay.
Tell you what, if Green Bay beats Milwaukee, that's like emergency podcast territory, and probably have a guest from Green Bay to tell us how stupid we are.
Yeah, so Jim Saro, if you're available, yeah, I think that would be an appropriate one. I think you'd be an appropriate guest for this particular occasion. Just throwing that out there.
You get to come on, and we will listen for a half an hour and tell you we were wrong
about absolutely that game. We will totally eat the crow. You just tell us how you want us to cook it. That's about it.
Not only will we eat the crow, Jim, if you're listening, here's my deal. This is me, Matt talking, not even the Horizon Roundtable, not Bob. I will buy you a 6-pack of your favorite beverage. You choose it. We're doing that.
Challenge. Okay. All right.
Anything. There's no deal. I'm just letting you know that those were the things that we would owe you.
There you go. There you go. So there is a lot on the line in this game, and you know, we're probably not going to see the, you know, like I said, we'll talk about this next week when next week's going to be so weird because of the Super Bowl and all that crap. And I don't really care.
This week was nice. I felt like the game just laid so much nicer, and I really appreciate
that. Yeah, but you know, we got to have the Friday games because, you know, ESPN and all that shit. Yeah. Do we though? Yeah. Do we though?
I mean we don't, yes, really.
Yes, but at the same, do we really, like, I don't know, like, I guess.
Do we need 3 games on the docket for next Friday? I don't know.
I mean, the TV game is going to be, and it can't even be, yeah, the sad part is it can't even be, yeah. So you see, this is the problem. It's going to be Northern Kentucky and Wright State. See, you had Purdue, Fort Wayne, you know, done a little better. Your choices were Youngstown State, I think was... Or is it Robert Morris and Cleveland State? I mean, either way, I'm not sure either of those 2 games are going to be. So they went with Northern Kentucky. They went with the rivalry game again. That's what they did. I'm like, okay, fine. Fair enough. I'm not offended.
No, it's fine.
I can make it work. We can make it work. Oh man, you know what? Holy cow. Okay, not this is why you know this is a road game, by the way, for IUPUI, because it's a 7 o'clock game. I didn't even need to see who was hosting. I didn't even need to see who the host was to find out. Oh yeah, it's 7 o'clock. It's definitely not in Indianapolis.
It's way past the kids' bedtime. Their new fans are going to be so disappointed in that.
I know. So
Bobby, hold on, but we're jumping to looking ahead. We still have a couple more games that we haven't talked about. We have a whole.
Yeah, because I'm trying to. That's kind of trying to avoid it. That's why.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm reeling it back in. So let's start with the bad for both of us. You know, it's sometimes
all right.
Good
so,
news or bad news. I like bad news first.
So last episode, you know, we were talking about Cleveland State, and we were really looking at it and like saying, you know, there just seems something. It's not. Since they're like at the, you know, they were, you know, in the four-way tie for first place, but it didn't seem like there was like all the way there. And yeah, so we were just waiting for the other shoe to drop. On Thursday, Antoine slapped him with one of the shoes. And then on Saturday, Trey Townsend slapped him with the other one. It was brutal. If you're a Cleveland State fan, you're just like, Jesus Christ, that was the worst.
Well, let's because it's really two different games. Let's start with the Detroit Mercy game for y'all.
Okay, so the worst game. I thought that was the worst game they played all season. I mean, they clearly left their ball handling in Cleveland because it wasn't in Callahan Hall. They coughed up on the ball 20 times, which they never do, and they were awful. Meanwhile, Antoine Davis is going off. Antoine Davis goes off. You talked earlier about Antoine Davis finding somebody besides Antoine Davis to score. They didn't need him that game because Cleveland State played so god awful.
Yeah, but they still got those pieces.
They did. And Detroit, to Cleveland State's credit, they did get close, but then they put it in another gear and that was the end. I mean, Antoine went off for 35. You know, Jared Liddell, who clearly must have heard last episode, he went off for 17 and 8.
He's getting healthier, which, you know, I'm glad for that.
I mean, you got 12 from A.J. Oliver, 10 from Demezi Anderson. I mean, but I got to say, I mean, I thought for sure Detroit Mercy was going to cough that game up because Cleveland State got back into the game. But then, of course,
and then thud. They didn't.
And then thud.
Thought about it. Never mind.
So mad about that. I mean, Jesus, that was the worst. So yeah, I wasn't very happy about that game. And so imagine my glee when Cleveland State goes up 16 on Oakland, and I thought for sure, this is the moment they're gonna stay within striking distance. And oh, by the way, had they won that game, they would have been at least three games clear of the teams that were Oakland would have been 7-7 with Purdue, Fort Wayne, and eventually Wright State. We'll talk about Purdue, Fort Wayne this week too, because if anybody had a worse week than Cleveland State, it was well at least part of the week. They were so close, and then somebody took the foot off the gas.
So, I don't know.
You were at the game. What the hell happened?
I don't know. And I don't often get to say that, but, like, I will admit, I try to be very honest with people to the point where people think I'm lying. Honestly, I had already been asked who what players we might want to speak to. That they were down 16 with a couple minutes left.
Uh-huh.
And we were asked, you know, which players do we want, you know, cool. So we asked for Blake and Trey, and it was kind of a toss up because no one was having great games. And it was just like, sure, I guess, you know, we've talked to Jalen a lot in these press conferences. So cool. Give him a day off. Great. And I wrote up all my questions for the players, like game was over. And then it wasn't. And you just kind of started to feel, I mean, Jalen Moore's done this before where it's just like, put them on their back, you know, NKU knows like, but not only was it Jalen Moore kind of leading things, Blake Lampman was.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Blake and I things are well documented. And by that, I mean, I don't find him to be the shooter that everyone has always portrayed him to be. And that's my only issue with Blake. I think he's a smart dude. He's a great athlete. and he works really, really hard. And I believe those things. And the truth with Blake Lampman is Blake Lampman shouldn't be playing basketball right now. And I don't mean that because of athletically. I mean, he is hurt. If you haven't seen an Oakland game, look at the leg brace on Blake's knee. Dude should have had surgery a couple weeks ago when this happened. But
Dude looks like a cyborg with that knee brace.
My understanding is it's one of those injuries where basically you're not going to hurt yourself anymore, so we'll deal with it later. And if you can play through the pain, you play through the pain. And Blake is playing, not only playing through the pain, not only playing at a high level, but he's playing with everything. That dude was diving on the floor for balls yesterday.
Yeah.
You can't get people to do that half the time anyway. And dude is doing that with his knee in that condition. Like, I got to give it up to Blake Lampman. And I'm sure not enough people will hear me say that here, but like, it's now going to be documented. And I asked him, I started my question to him yesterday because he shot pretty well. I think it was 5 of 9 yesterday.
He was 5 of 9 from 3-point land. Yeah.
Yeah. I started my question to him with kind of a nod, a little smile between us of shooters make shots and today you make shots. Like, and he did.
Yeah.
But that quickly turned into, you know, the team and everything saying the right things. And again, smart dude, I get that. But like, he made shots. He played hard. Him and OC Price with the steal down the stretch. I mean, that was huge. By the way, Rocket Watts is hurt. That's why we saw OC Price at the end of the game. We got that out of Greg Campy in that press conference. Rocket Watts hurt his ankle. In the pregame shootout or shoot around, like in the warmups, he hurt his ankle and he tried to give it a go and was not himself. And so we saw a lot more OC Price, which ended up working out all right for Oakland. As far as what happened, I don't know. There's a lot of chirping and a lot of talk between players during the game, and it started to get a little chippy. And I think
a little bit, Cleveland,
I think Cleveland State just kind of pissed him off.
Yeah, specifically between Deshaun Parker, who, by the way, ended up fouling out of the game. I mean,
and heard about it from the fans.
Woo. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm like looking at the, I mean, basically, and maybe this is it. I mean, maybe they just couldn't keep themselves out of foul trouble because three of them fouled out. I'm like, what the hell, guys?
There was so much conversation about, it was unfair and uncalled poorly. I've heard that from some Cleveland State fans. I never got that impression watching the game.
No, I didn't either. I don't know what you guys are talking about. They just lost. I don't know, somewhere was the call excessive? I mean, maybe, but it didn't, but you know what? You should have got over that. I was listening to Neil Roland, because obviously I was watching the TV feed, so I was listening to Neil Rule, and he basically is like, I mean, they were shook, and that is a mental thing, and I don't know, it's something that Cleveland State has had an issue with previously, not just with this group, but previously. And sometimes they were able to overcome it. Sometimes they weren't. This time they absolutely were not. And it was very troubling, especially when you have a team that uses as many guys as they do. So I don't know. The last part of that game was super painful to watch. I mean, if you're a Cleveland State fan, you're not happy about this week. And you basically, I mean, I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, I think, you know, fight for the 4th seed because that's pretty much all you're going to get. That's the best you're probably going to do at this point.
Quick side note, you mentioned Neil Rule. Neil Rule 100% went for the announcer's jinx. He knew what he was doing in that game.
Oh, he's a professional.
He knew what he was doing.
I know.
I don't know if Woodruff will ever miss another shot. He knew what he was doing.
I know. I was he's so not mad stupid. About,
he's a professional.
Although I gotta say this, and I actually missed this. Apparently, there was some sort of debate as to which is the better show, Seinfeld or King of Queens. Neil, I got your back on that one.
Again, we talked about the officiating, and I'm moving past it. We talked about the officiating. For me, and biased, I realize that, you know, covering Oakland, and I know a lot of Oakland things. There was two huge missed calls in that game, and both of them went in actually the way of Cleveland State. Woodrich got called for a flop that wasn't a flagrant, and the ref later admitted to the scoring table that was incorrect. Flops are flagrants this year.
Flops are technicals. I didn't think they were flagrants.
Or There was something with that. They called a regular foul on the flop, or it was like a flop warning. It should have been a technical. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Blake Lampman's steal at the end there was absolutely, happened right in front of me. It was 100% a clear path foul that would have been free throws on the ball. And they did not get, they just gave him the free throws, which was a terrible call. Campy was, I don't know if TV caught it. Campy was not only livid.
Oh no, he was he definitely did. TV definitely captured that image.
Did they capture the part where he went to throw the clipboard, and in my head, like it was a cartoon, that clipboard actually left his hand and he brought it back before the technical could be called because he was,
he was so mad. Yeah. I was like, he was so mad that I'm like, Greg, chill out, man. If you don't stop for a minute, they're going to tee you up. And then whatever you were complaining about it, I mean, you're going to cancel out the free throws he's already going to get. I'm glad that there was a little bit of restraint there, because that could have ended badly, because he was so mad. I'm like, oh, dude, chill. I mean, obviously I'm a Cleveland State fan, but I'm like, Greg, chill.
And we talked last episode, trying to, you know, bring this all back here about officiating all that. I don't feel it affected the game.
You blew a 16-point lead. Exactly. Be good enough that the refs are not a factor. And incidentally, and had they called that clear path, which they could have. I mean, that's on you. You did that. That was an obvious foul. You're lucky it didn't. You're lucky they didn't call a clear path.
But all that said, the officiating, if I could speak the rest of this, the officiating in the Oakland Purdue Fort Wayne game was not great, and it had nothing to do with the score. That game, that was a Purdue Fort Wayne win. But there was, you know, you got your three officials and attending. I kind of got to watch this. The three officials were not on the same page. Two of them were on the same page, and the third one turned that into a show about him. It was awful. And it didn't affect the score, but you just kind of saw it playing out, and you're like, this dude needs to be seen today, clearly. Like, but why?
I don't know, man.
I don't know the refs well enough to even call him out, but I tweeted about it. If you're really curious, you go back and find it. But, like, he made that game about him. From an officiating standpoint, it was terribly called. You know, but it had no bearing on the game.
It was pretty. I mean, Jared Godfrey, Jared Godfrey went off for 32. I mean, it was, you know, apparently the ref got jealous that Jared Godfrey was making the game about him with all his, I don't know, production and scoring and helping his team win the game and all that. So when you see that Purdue Fort Wayne score against Oakland, when you see the performance Purdue Fort Wayne had against Oakland, you really honestly thought they were going to be able to go into Callahan and basically shatter whatever dreams of that Detroit Mercy was going to have about getting out of near the cellar of the standings. And good Lord, what the hell happened? They lost by 33, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't even as close as the final score indicated.
You know what happened is, we last week said that Detroit Mercy just wasn't very good, so clearly they just had to prove us very wrong. That's what happened.
Clearly, it was wow. Again, it was just bad. I mean, it was horrifying.
They put an absolute beat down on Fort Wayne.
They could not get anything together. It was really bad for them. I mean, they were Detroit Mercy just basically. I mean, they definitely out rebounded them. That's for sure. Detroit Mercy couldn't miss apparently. I mean, they shot 50% from 3-point, which, you know, you could pretty much guess how many of those were Antoine's. Antoine scored was 6 of 10 from 3-point land against Purdue Fort Wayne. When Antoine is doing that, you know, I understand supporting cast or whatnot that he needs. When he's doing that, you don't really need a lot from anybody else. And honestly, he didn't, you know, there wasn't really a lot from anybody else. Because I think Gerald Liddell got another, 16 points, and Demezi Anderson got 13. Nobody else was over. Nobody else scored double digits. Well, but they didn't need it.
The biggest difference between the two games for Fort Wayne comes down to 3-point shooting, from what I can tell. Like,
yeah,
I mean, they went they went 9 of 21, so they shot 21 three. They shot 42% versus Oakland,
and
versus Detroit Mercy, they only had I lost my stats. I had it significantly less. Where did it go?
Are you referring to Cleveland State or the Purdue Fort Wayne game?
Fort Wayne, they shot 9 of 31 against Detroit Mercy. Like, they just weren't shooting very well.
They were shooting very terribly.
And they're a team that's built on shooting that three. Yeah. And they shot terribly.
They were like 29% for the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they just could not hit the broadside of a barn.
Where the Oakland game, they shot well.
And more to the point, they couldn't get to the line either. Because they only got to the line 9 times. I mean, it was by a certain point in the second half, you knew it was basically over. So, I mean, but yeah, that really, I mean, that was an opportunity for Purdue Fort Wayne to, you know, definitely get some momentum, stay kind of within striking distance of the top four. And it just didn't happen. It was just not there. And now they're sitting at 7-7 with another team we don't know why is there, Wright State.
And once again, we continue to have log jams all around the Horizon League. Parity at its best.
They're like mini log jams at this point in time. But yeah, they're log jams nonetheless.
Here we are, you know, like, see what this next week brings. One thing I just want to hit on super, super quick. Related to all this. Something to keep an eye on, and we don't have a lot of information on it as far as I can find. AJ Oliver for Detroit Mercy was on crutches by the end of that game. Looks like he did something to his foot, ankle, something like that. So that's something that, you know, as Detroit Mercy had a really good week, something to keep an eye on that, on their health.
Here we go again. Once again. Oh, man. Detroit Mercy just can't stay healthy.
I mean, who is healthy in this league right now? Everyone's hurt. You know, we're in February.
Yeah, that's true.
It's time, you know, and
yeah, we're gonna find out who. Yeah, I mean, that's, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. And it's just, but yeah, you know, it's just gonna come down who can get through, and that's about it. So
who can hit shots when it's time, and that's, you know, right now Youngstown State hitting shots and winning games.
And speaking of injuries, yeah, let's not forget that they're actually missing somebody. They're missing Shamar Rattan Mays, who's been out for most of the season.
Easy to forget, but you're right.
I know. It is, because, I mean, well, not most of the season, just the last month or so, he's been out. But, you know, again, Youngstown State is so stacked lately, it's like, you don't, I mean, it's unfair to say, but yeah, you kind of don't notice. Same way I didn't notice that I'm not seeing, I mean, same way I noticed William Dunn only playing, you know, the last couple of minutes with the rest of the bench. And I'm like, wasn't he like starting last year? Like, yeah. But you could say that a lot about, I mean, very interesting how next year is going to look like for them. But anyway, I think it's going to wrap it up for us, Matt. I think we packed a lot in today.
I think it's a lot.
Absolutely.
Another big week coming. It's always a big week.
Another big week with a lot of scattered games. And, you know, I don't know what the recording for next week's going to look like because of, you know, but we'll make it, we'll figure it out. But till then, horizontheroundtable.com. Jaguar guy got a, going to have a write up on the IPUI game. So that's going to be great. He talked to Matt Crenshaw and all that good stuff. So that's going to be great. I'm looking, I already read it. You guys are definitely not going to want to miss that. Along with all the other stuff we got coming out. We dropped that Adrian Nelson and Chris Brandon comparison matchup thing with Larry Wickel. We posted that on Saturday morning before the game. It looked really good too. But yeah, so horizonroundtable.com. You can pull us, we're wherever podcasts are found. You can pull us up wherever on our on your Amazon or Google devices. So until next time, thank you all for listening.